outside into the right circle. McAvoy shoots. He scores! Charlie McAvoy raced into the right circle and fired a laser under the bar. And he wins it for the Boston Bruins here at home. 4-3 in overtime. What a way to start the homestand.
Who win it now?
Hi, Javi. How are you?
Hi, Beagle. How are you?
Do you think too much time has passed or people don't even know what that is?
Oh, it's not even about time. It was just such a small thing. I don't even think people...
Yeah, but it made it into the final montage on BCN.
Yeah, you were a big BCN fan, though.
Yeah.
So you'd have to be a super fan to listen to that final BCN montage. But
yeah. Where the woman says, "Hi, Javi, how are you?" Right. Your name is clearly not Harvey.
I know. I never asked Riley about that. It's like, did you leave that in as a joke? Like, John Riley is a production director. He produced the final BCN montage. Did you leave it in as a joke, or do you not know my name? Or did you not care? It was the last thing
you see.
Yeah,
just didn't care.
It was the last thing you had to produce for WBCN, and I was the last afternoon guy. Was there for 5-6 years and got like a 2-second mention in it, which is maybe more than Toucher and Rich got.
You got mentioned,
I guess.
All right,
whatever.
So just take that.
I still keep getting these emails, and something will pop up on a Facebook notification, which I don't even check. I just get the notification still about. Like, someone's been trying to put together, like, a BCN documentary for years, and they're
they've been soliciting for money.
They're looking for money, and, like, you know what? You want to make a movie about WBC? Go make it. Go make it. There should be enough funding out there without you having to beg for money for years on end to do this thing. Do you know? And I'm not saying it's an easy process, but in terms of actually, like, doing a movie these days, technologically, not that tough. People have done entire feature-length films using nothing more than an iPad to shoot it, edit it, master it, get it all set for release. It can be done. Just leave me. You're going to leave me out of it anyway. It's going to focus in on the glory years anyway. So leave me out of it. I would go. I'll go see it. I read Carter Allen's book about BCN. It's good stuff. Carter Allen didn't bug everybody. Did interviews. Go do it. I think people like you would watch it.
I'd watch.
But if you're gonna go around begging for money using the Amanda Palmer method, the art of begging, stop begging and just do it. Figure out how to do it on your own. It's obnoxious. It's desperate. People soliciting for money for your own pet project.
It has a trailer. It has a trailer that's 6 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
How do you make a trailer for a movie that hasn't been made?
How do you make a trailer that's 6 minutes long and expect anybody to watch it? How long is a trailer supposed to be, Beetle? How many trailers have you watched in your life? Thousands?
Yeah.
How long are they?
A minute and a half? 2 minutes?
2 minutes tops! I'm not giving money to anybody who doesn't know how to make a trailer. Cut it in half. And then cut it in half again.
I love how mad you are about this.
Love it! Well, it turned into this whole thing about the people who are trying to get funding for their projects. GoFundMe. You've seen all the stupid GoFundMes about people. GoFund my honeymoon. GoFund my wedding. GoFundMe. You want to get married? Go get married. You know how much it costs? A license. That's all you need. Oh, you had all these hardships. Really? You must be the only one. You're the only young couple who's fallen on hard times in their lives, and now you need a few bucks so you can have a nice wedding? That's everybody. Unless you're born with a silver spoon up your keister, then you're going to need money early on in life.
My dog is sick. I need to start a GoFundMe to get
the dog well
again.
Yes, or the dog will die, or you'll put the dog down, and that sucks. You ever put a pet down?
Sucks.
It sucks. It's the worst day of your life. Also builds character, much more so than out there begging for money for treatment for your pet. Not doing it.
I love the start that we're off to. I don't know that we're going to get to the Bruins this segment, despite playing that highlight. A little bit of a shortened segment, went a little long in the TNR crossover, but I feel better about our day already. I don't know about you.
Yeah, let's do a segment on the most ridiculous GoFundMes you've seen. And they don't even have to be for... I don't want jokes. I don't want people who are you know, asking for something that is obviously tongue-in-cheek. No. I've seen some of them. And provide links, please. Send them to us. We'll expose these people. These communists and people of low character. Yeah, I said it. Low character, Beetle.
Okay, we've got Bruins from last night. We've got a couple of Patriots items to follow up on, including Rob Gronkowski. There's actually something new on that front, not related to whether or not he retires, but just a little piece of information of something that played out during the season. That and Danny Amendola says he wants to remain a member of the Patriots. We'll get to a lot of this coming up this hour. And yes, the most ridiculous GoFundMe pages you've ever come across here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zo.
That's it.
Cattle's with us again. We're back right after this.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Zoe. Hardy is salty.
I'm not. No, I wasn't. I was fine.
Salty.
Excited.
And for that salt, the rest of us are winners. We all reap the benefits.
Oh, you brought up BCN, and that got us down the rabbit hole of people trying to do projects and wanting complete and total strangers to pay for them. You know, I want to make BCM was a great radio station. Yes, it was. Ton of history there. That's a great story. Yes, it is. I'm going to make a movie. Good idea. Will you pay for it? No. Go screw.
Okay. All right. We hear you. Go screw.
Right. GoFundMe. So I what are the most ridiculous GoFundMes? And I see Mike Lockhart sliding into my DMs. And it is a link that says paying back my family.
And?
I click on it, and I'm reading it. As some of you may know, this year hasn't been an easy one for me. Let go of two jobs since leaving radio. They paid well enough just for me to trend water.
Trend?
Trend.
Now I'm barely keeping my head above water. I've had to reach out to my family for money. Now he's not really in a position, blah, 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 blah. It's a picture of Adolfo.
No way.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
No. 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 No.
Oof, that's rough.
Well, there's a BCN tie in there, right? He worked for BCN.
Yes. Adolfo, come on. He's raised $425 of his $2,500 goal. So you can donate now. GoFundMe.
Does it pay out? Like, as you go? Or do you have to hit your goal before they cut you the check?
I don't know.
I think it pays out as you go.
Oh, good.
I don't know how it works, and I never want to know.
I'm just guessing. I think it pays out as it goes. Adolfo, GoFundMe page.
Bright side is he has a strong lead on a job. So there we go.
All right. Let's talk about the Bruins from last night, Hardy. How about Rick Nash? Had himself a night.
Well, Rick Nash
had himself a night.
We knew he was going to have nights, and we knew it was only a matter of time, and it only took his second game for him to show up on a score sheet there and to contribute in a meaningful way. And I think that's great, and it leads me to believe that they can not only keep an even keel while Bergeron is out for a couple of weeks, hopefully no more than that. But great, you know, this is a sign of what things could be. Like the way he looks out there, hockey players are just fantastic anyway. You can literally be with one team one morning, pack up your stuff, go jump on the second line of this for this team in this game tonight. Okay. Well, what about the coaching? It's hockey. We'll get it. We'll figure out the specifics later.
Least amount of drama possible.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yes.
And for all the drama that baseball players create, they're pretty much the same way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a more individual sport though, than hockey.
Yes.
You deserve more credit in hockey.
You deserve way more credit, and I love it. So, a couple of games in, he does that. But I also saw Tuukka Rask in net last night, and these weren't soft goals. They were, but he's Tuukka, and you, Patrice Bergeron is out. You got a couple of new guys in the lineup. You need to be playing well, and he forces his team to play with a deficit in part of that game, and it ended up being fine. They got the win. It was an overall feel-good moment for the night, but it got me to thinking about Tuukka Rask and how he has performed in the postseason in years past. And I'll preface this by saying that I'm a Tuukka Rask fan. I don't think the Bruins should have done anything differently in net. I don't think he makes too much money, all this stuff. If I'm going to have a wish list, yes. I wish he literally showed up in a couple of big games where he was unable to go due to sickness or whatever other cause there was, and showed up in a figurative sense where he just played better in a couple of big spots. And it gets me to thinking about what this is going to mean for the Bruins in the postseason, because it's really a failing of the entire sport, I think, in that you can have everything lined up. Get Bergeron back, he's going to be healthy. You got Nash now, boom. Marchand's playing at a high level. You got your defensive core playing solidly. Zdeno Chara playing well below his years. Everything's lining up. And this could be said for the Bruins or any other team. If your goalie isn't playing well, you're gone. It's all done. And it's not, we've seen it, Beetle. We've seen it with quarterbacks in the NFL. It all doesn't have to rely 100% all the time on the quarterback. Well, the Broncos got a win in the Super Bowl using Brock Osweiler and a game manager version of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was one of the best players of all time, but when he won his last Super Bowl with the Broncos, he did nothing more than go in there and not screw up. Goalie's got to do much more than that in a game. A goalie is going to have to, throughout the course of a best-of-seven series, he is going to have to steal you a game here and there, probably at least a game in each of those series going forward. He is going to have to stand on his head. He's going to have to do things that are going to be unthinkable for a goalie just playing at an average or below-average level. And if Tuukka doesn't do that, or any goalie, and for any team that's playing well, you don't have a shot.
So all this other stuff that's gone on could mean nothing.
Right.
Right? The addition of Rick Nash, or the trades that you made ahead of the deadline, or the way a lot of guys, young guys, have been very productive on this team.
Yeah.
That could all be for naught.
And I lose sight of that. I lose sight of that year after year, season after season. You know, think about how this team is looking and how those lines are rolling. Ooh, they're even going to have a fourth line that's more than just an energy line. They're actually going to be able to contribute great. If your goaltender is letting in three goals in the first, it's not going to matter.
But isn't last night an example of the team being able to sort of be good enough to fight back and get back into it?
In the regular season.
So you don't think it can carry over?
It's not. It's a different game. You know it's a different game in the postseason. Hockey's a totally different sport in the postseason. Just like basketball. The game is played with a higher intensity to level, and every loose puck, every puck battle in the corner, everything, at every single possession, every shift is played with a higher intensity than almost anything that happens in the regular season.
I mean, they did have that three-goal comeback that one time against Toronto. You know, Bergeron, remember that
yeah,
one?
I do.
I mean, it has been done.
I do.
It is possible. You're right, though. It's harder. That's a fair statement to say that things get harder. The competition is better when you get to the playoffs. And so is it ideal to be down goals early? Of course not. No, you can't. You also can't live like that on a regular basis. And this team hasn't. Tuukka's been really good. So as much as we talk about, is the team peaking? Have they, you know, gotten too good too soon? Are their best, you know, games of the year being played too soon? Well, what if that is the case with the goalie? I mean, he's been great. He's had a great year.
Yeah,
right. Because when we talk about a team like peaking too soon, not about the overall team. You're talking about the goal scoring a lot of times. Like, wow, these guys are on fire. You know, it's like they're shooting into a net that's 20 feet wide. Oh, look at the defense. They're stopping everything. They're shutting guys down. It's beautiful. Don't talk about the goalies enough. And again, I think it's kind of like a failing of the sport in terms of like how it plays out. So much relies on your goaltender in the postseason. You get a hot goalie, you can have very average team. and go way deeper in the playoffs than anybody think you would if your goaltender's playing well enough.
Right. If people are wondering what Tuukka's done, you pretty much look at what Tuukka's done this year, and that's very close to the kind of playoff goalie he's been. I mean, the save percentage is really, really close. The goals against average is really, really close. What I'm interested in is now tomorrow we get into March, and March's schedule is just absolutely cluttered with games. They're playing pretty much every other night. I think I heard Jack Edwards say that if you take the rest of this schedule over the days that you have left of the year, they're going to play a game every like 44 hours. So is the depth going to... I think that's why you've seen Sweeney go out the last couple of days and over the last week and get a guy like Nash and get Wingles, who was great last night. I mean, if Wingles gives you the kind of play and effort that he gave you last night, that's going to be a find. I'm not ready to bank on that just yet. But the youth of this team and the depth of this team, including at goaltender. You know, Rask is not going to play every 44 hours. You know, Anton Khudobin needs to continue to show us that he's a legitimate backup goalie, which he has this year. So the team's depth, the team's youth, that's going to be challenged in a big, big way in the month of March.
Yeah, I want Khudobin to be able to play in his spots and fill in, but when it comes to postseason, it's all about Tuukka.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about Tuukka showing up, literally showing up, figuratively showing up, and having all these guys playing at the level they're at right now. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask of the team to keep playing as well as they have. You know, not counting that 2 out of 3 that they dropped on the road before last night. And it's a lot to ask from Tuukka. You know, it's just, it's how the sport plays out. And I have to remind myself this time every year, oh, wait, as good as I think this team is, or as good as I think, or as bad as I think this other team might be, it's pretty much going to come down to the goalie. I mean, you can't suck. You can't flat out just be a garbage team, you know, from the first line down to the fourth and have not one legitimate top defenseman in your first couple of pairings. You got to have something there. But it's going to come down to the goaltending. Almost always does.
Yeah, I mean, if Tuukka stands on his head, this team can make a run. If Tuukka plays as well as he can play, up to his potential, there's not much reason that this team will not go on a deep run. The one question that I have recently is the power play. That's been a big-time issue for them.
Cattles has headlines. We're back with your calls. We got more on the Bruins. 617-779-0985. That's right. I just cut you off.
But no.
It needed to be done.
No, but that's the question. That's the question. That's the question going forward. Are you going to worry about Tuukka going into this postseason?
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins beat the Hurricanes in overtime last night, 4-3. Charlie McAvoy with the game winner. Newly acquired Tommy Wingles had a goal and an assist, while new Bees forward Rick Nash had a first period goal. Bruins host the Penguins tomorrow night. Free agent Danny Amendola told a crowd of students during a question and answer session at Bryant University last night that he wants to stay in New England but understands football as a business. Meanwhile, Jeff Howe of the Herald reached out to Rob Gronkowski's representation about his possible retirement. They had a no comment. More Patriots news. Bills free agent linebacker and leading NFL tackler last season, Preston Brown, told Howe that he believes he could make the Patriots defense better. When asked about the Pats pursuing him, Brown told Howe, quote, anytime you can play for one of the best franchises in NFL history, it's obviously going to be an option. They definitely have great players. I met with the coaching staff coming out of college. Celtics host the Hornets tonight at the Garden. Seas remain a half game behind Toronto for the number one seed in the East. Celtics tonight, Randy and Max, starts at 7 o'clock. Sox went 1-1 yesterday in split squad action. They'll play the Pirates this afternoon, 1 p.m. first pitch. Headlines brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 11 o'clock.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello?
Go ahead.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, he has to, right? We need goaltending to win. I think that's a part of our game, like the, you know, some of our defensive game that slipped a little in the last 7-8 games. And, you know, it's all a result. They all go together. You know, but he found it after the first, clearly. We defended better, allowed him to see more pucks. I thought we did a good job of clearing some of those. There was a couple of close calls around the crease, too. So working together for one another. And, yeah, we get the save. We're going to need it. We're no different than anybody else. Every team in this league needs saves at opportune times to win most nights, and we are no different.
617-779-0985. Bruce Cassidy talking about Tuukka Rask. Let's go to the phones. Go to Chris in Plainville. Hi, Chris.
There's a little bit something that people might have forgotten about Tuukka. He actually, I think I'm correct with this one, lost his job to Timmy Thomas not once, but twice. And it's never been his ability. I mean, he's, in fact, I'd almost want to say that he's got too much ability. It's just his demeanor of almost being okay with him not having the starting position. When Khudobin went in and he was struggling early this year in the team and Khudobin was playing well, he was like, oh, I don't blame Cassidy for playing. I mean, Khudobin's playing better than me right now. I mean, I don't know if that's the kind of guy. He just seems too okay with things. And his ability, if he could ever match a fire and brimstone and bring that to the ice along with his ability, then would be all set. But I haven't seen it, guys. I hope it happens.
He's not a battler. He's not that type of goalie. He's not that type of... Look, all goalies are nuts. You have to be.
Yeah, they're all weird.
You got to be crazy to play that position, number one. Tim Thomas was badass, but he was also a battler.
Yeah.
And he made up for a lack of traditional skill. You know, he was flying all over the place to make some of those saves. And crazy on top of it. So Tuukka Rask is crazy in a different way. And do you remember Tim Thomas? It was during the Cup run. It was during 2011 when he was asked about winning some games and they had a bad stretch. And he said, a lot more important things out there than winning a hockey game. You see what's going on in China? People are like, what are you talking about? The starting goaltender for the Bruins and you're trying to win a Stanley Cup and you're talking about China?
Yeah, that what was, the hell that was, are you talking
that
about?
That was his attitude the year they won the Stanley Cup. So I don't think attitude has that much to do with it. Not with goalies. It's too unique a position. It's too tough to play. You've got to take a certain, you know, you accept a certain amount of eccentricity in all walks of life for people who have to perform a very unique skill, whether it's an actor or a singer or a goaltender. All right, these guys are all a different breed of cat, each and every one of them. If you would like for his battle level to be a little bit higher, I understand that, but that ain't him.
I would say, though, that he's, you know, when you look at Tuukka in the postseason, I get the reputation of Tuukka and the perception of him being soft. We've heard it. I mean, last year he was killed about being soft late in the season. Then we find out he did have surgery after the year was over. So I don't know if that's the greatest example to use by some that were using it late in the year. But when you look at him throughout the postseason, he's been good. I mean, his 2012-2013 run was just as good, I'd even say better than Tim Thomas's run when they won the Cup. So he's shown that when the playoffs begin, he has been able to find that level. I mean, you look at what he's done in 09-10 and 12-13, 13-14, and even last year against Ottawa. When you look at these kinds of playoff runs he's had, he's been good. So I would not be too nervous about Rask in the postseason unless late in the season he starts to crap all over himself. Then you start to get worried. Like the last month, month and a half, again, this March, this coming month, what's he going to look like when they're playing a ton of hockey? Is he going to look like the same guy or is he going to have a major drop off? That would be the concern.
Let's go to Paulie, who's in the truck. Hey, Paulie.
Thanks, Cattles. He's the kind of cat, Tuukka Rask, who gets bored during the regular season. He plays when the money's on the table. That's when he's all over the place, man, making great saves. He played great when they needed to get into the playoffs, then into the playoffs. When the money's on the table, he plays, and he plays very well. He's a top-tier goaltender. Thank you for recognizing that. Quick on the Bruins, and I'm going to get right to the Bruins. I'm going to say one thing. I want Poe, okay? They got to replace Branch. They replaced Will Flock with Branch. They got to replace Branch with Poe. That's where you got to start. That's where defense starts. They had no pocket push. They need the coverage was a problem. They get some guys that are coming up through the system that are pretty good, that are fast, that are pretty good working on their technique. So get some in the draft. They'll be fine there in the secondary. Okay, they need that. And they got to work on the linebackers, of course. But first, I got to grab that guy, Poe. But back to the Bruins. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah, we're listening, buddy.
Okay, all right. Back to the Bruins. I think they overpaid for Rick Nash. I love him. I think the team's better now. I love Wingles. Man, what a solid veteran. It's like having two Riley Nashes, and he's like a half a size bigger. He's a tough kid. He's good. He's a real veteran. He's going to be good in the locker room, great on the ice, the whole nine. I love that kid. He's great. Great addition. They didn't overpay for him. They didn't overpay for the defenseman that they picked up. He never really overly impressed me. Him in the third, so what? Big deal. This kid's a big guy, Holden. He's just got to acclimate himself to the system, and he'll be fine. He's a big, tough kid. It's good. He can move around. He can cover some ground, okay? But I think they overpaid for Nash. I like Rick Nash. Don't get me wrong. He has improved the team. But the guy, the number one pick, that was too much. And they should, 3 years. But Spooner, no. The guy that should have been gone is Krejci. He's not tough enough. He's not fit enough. He gets hurt too much.
Okay, but you're better with Krejci on the team than you are with Ryan Spooner on the team if you're picking between
yes.
those two. Sorry.
And the argument
and, would... and I'm all about trading David Krejci. I wouldn't have cried if they found a deal that they move Krejci and get something back of value in return, but... No.
Right
and
now,
yes,
you got to have
Krejci. Yeah, it's expensive to shop at the deadline. You know what that means? It means you have a good team. It means you have a team that thinks it really can compete at the end of the year.
It's worth it.
And it's worth it to me. That means you're in a good spot. And I believe the Bruins have a lot of young talent. They're dealing from a position of strength when they give up a high pick like that because they've got guys in their system already, and they didn't give up any of those guys in that deal, guys that are already at or near the NHL level.
And part of the reason why you go out and get a Nash is because you feel like he's a perfect fit with Krejci. And if you did not move Spooner and you moved Krejci, now you're putting Spooner back at center. And it seemed like Spooner had moved on from that position and looked much more comfortable at the wing. So there were a lot of trickle-down effects of that one move.
Dontari Pogue signed a one-year deal with the Falcons last year. Paid him $8 million bucks plus some incentives. And he's going to be a free agent again.
Yeah. He's a 4-3 defensive tackle. So when you look at the kinds of contracts, he's not a Fletcher Cox. You know, Fletcher Cox making huge money, but you still have guys in the region of, you know, the Kyle Williams of the world, DeMond Harrison of the Giants. He's probably looking at, I would guess, I don't know, $9 to $10 million per, I would think, which is pretty interesting to think about, because I know Miguel Benson, I sent this to you guys last night as part of our little email chain or Slack chain, whatever you call it. Miguel Benson of Boston Sports Journal looked at the cap numbers, and he says if the Patriots want to go out and get a name, they have the money to do it. They've got the money, they've got the resources as far as, you know, team depth in certain spots. He thinks they can go out and get a big name. I'm interested to see if that happens for a second straight offseason.
Hall & Oates. Tickets coming your way next. We're giving away a pair of those tickets. Also, some Patriots items that we will get into coming up in the next hour here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Don't you know? Don't you know? Do you think the rich girl got her money from GoFundMe?
No.
Possibility.
No, that's family. No? Rich girl's family money.
Oh, family money.
Yeah.
Old money. Right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Daryl Hall and John Oates, also known as Hall & Oates, with special guest Train, June 7th at Xfinity Center. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 10 right now, you're going with a pair of tickets from the Sports Hub, 617-931-0985. Well, let's get back to your calls. Get some thoughts on the Bruins. That's where we started the day. That and ridiculous and outrageous GoFundMe pages. You get any more, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I got
a
ton.
What do you have? Anything worth noting?
Anything better than Adolfo's yet? Or is that the...
No, that one.
You know that Adolfo is going to get more money now on his GoFundMe.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's fine. It kind of made me sad. I kind of regret bringing it up. Yes, I found a list of them here. There is one for yoga teaching. quote, I am starting this campaign to help raise money for myself so that I may start my journey into yoga teacher training.
What the hell?
The guy's name is Brett. And his campaign is called Get Brett to Yoga Teacher Training. He's asking for $650 because, quote, this will provide me with the tools so that I can better serve each and every person in my life and help guide them with positivity and light. Another guy says he will die if he doesn't get money for a treadmill. He says, my dear friends and family, I am cold and weary. I need a treadmill. My son needs me to have one. My girlfriend needs me to have one. Without a treadmill, I will die. A lot of albums, a lot of people raising money on GoFundMe for albums, which...
That's along the line of the movie stuff.
Especially since you can do an album in your house now. You really can, and you can release the tracks just one by one online. You don't necessarily need studio time. How about the the random movie projects are all over the place. There's too many to mention. Here's one. This woman wants $25,000 to train for the LPGA.
What?
Her name is Amira Alexander. She's from Georgia. Graduated from Kent State in 2016 with a BS in Educational Studies and Psychology, which means she's crazy. every psych major is nuts. Ask my wife. Now's the time for me to begin a new journey. Throughout my junior golf and collegiate career, I've received great support. Those who know me know how passionate I am. The average cost for women on the LPGA Tour can run $30,000 to $50,000 a year. That includes my traveling expenses, tournament entry fees, blah, blah, blah. To start my road to the LPGA Tour, I'll be competing in the first stage of LPGA qualifying school. And I need money.
Ugh.
25 grand. She's raised $6,350. You know there are people who actually make deals? There's a way of doing this. Because I happen to understand that if you want to be like a professional golfer, it's not cheap, right? You need tournament entry fees. You need to travel, all that stuff.
Right.
So you go find a sugar daddy. For me, I would go talk to Andy Wong, and I'd say, Andy,
sugar daddy,
I've decided I am going to quit radio, and I'm going to be a professional golfer. Will you support me in the cause? And here's the deal. You give me 50 grand so that I can, you know, quit my job, practice, enter a few tournaments, and when I start making money, you get half of everything that I make for a certain amount of time. People make these deals all the time. There's a ton of, like, minor tour players who have sugar daddies. And I'm like, yeah, I will absolutely, I think you're a really good player, and I think you could actually make something on tour. Here's the money. Go get started. And if you never make anything, oh, well, that's fine. But you want to just donate some random money?
She got $6,000 from GoFundMe so far.
To Amira Alexander, because she wants to be on the LPGA Tour. Go. You know what? Go to Q School. And if you qualify, then you can start asking for money.
Let's go to Dan in Uxbridge on the Bruins. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hardy, I got a quick, funny GoFundMe page.
Excellent.
Ooh, good.
So I remember 1 or 2 years ago, I was just scrolling through Facebook, and this kid I went to school with at one point, he pretty much blew the transmission in his car, just being a reckless driver, what have you, and created a GoFundMe page looking for $1,500 so he could replace his transmission that he blew.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when you do,
that's brutal.
That's a worthy charitable cause.
We learned this as young drivers, Beetle. I don't know if the neutral slam was the thing when you started driving. Oh, it was?
I never did it, but I know those who did.
Yeah, if you don't have a powerful enough car to, you know, peel out or, you know, just lay on the brake and floor it and try and get a little thing, then you just rev the engine in neutral and then you slam it into gear and see if you can squawk the tires a little bit. It's also a good way to drop the transmission right down there onto the street.
Right.
Yeah, that happened. But I got a quick Bruins thought for you guys. I like Cattles. I like your take on Rask. I think he'll play fine in the playoffs as long as he's, you know, not goes into a slump. But my worry is the defense. You know, Carlo never got any playoff experience last year. Who knows if Grizzly's going to make it into the lineup for the playoffs and if they'll throw Holden in his place or not. But we got some young bodies on D, and I'm kind of curious to see how they'll do in the playoffs to stand the test of time against those big forwards that appear in the playoffs.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. The other part of that is Zdeno Chara, is he going to keep it up the way he has?
Yeah.
He's had an incredible year.
And I think that's the idea of going out and getting Holden, right? I know he hasn't played yet, sitting on the ninth floor again last night.
Good
but
depth.
Yeah, the thought is, last year's playoff run, think about it. You lost a number of defensemen in that Ottawa series. You were scrambling. You were trying to throw it together. McAvoy is playing 20-plus minutes a night straight out of college. So there were many issues with their depth at D last year in that postseason. So that's a major reason why you go out and get a guy like that. I don't know if he's going to end up working out for them perfectly, but the theory, the hypothetical situation is you might need him come playoff time and you got some depth.
We're going to talk about Rob Gronkowski, the latest on him, and a story that was written about him in the Providence Journal that the team tried to shut down and tried to prevent from being written. We will tell you what that story is, speculate on why the team didn't want the story out there. We'll get to that. We've got headlines with Nick, 90 seconds, no commercials. Get you caught up. Hour two is on the way.